Hello, beloveds, and welcome to Live Your Love, the Alicia Doss Show. I'm Alicia, and this is our beloved guest, Coot. Would you like to say hi?
Hi.
So I am beyond excited to have Coot. We did a radio show when my show was primarily radio a couple years ago. We know so many people in common.
Wow.
And it was such a wonderful show, so I'm so happy to have you in person.
Amazing. We made it.
We made it.
It's a miracle.
It is. And we're even in a temporary studio, albeit a beautiful one.
I love it.
Because my studio is in the Palisades. One day, perhaps, you'll come there. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Coot, who's a very impressive guy. And then we're going to have a gorgeous conversation that will be, I am sure, deep and fun and joyful. So Coot is a beloved inspirational speaker and transformational teacher. He speaks at countless events he organizes around the world, as well as at outside events, including AFEST, Young Presidents Organization, and Entrepreneurs Organization. He's a member of the Transformational Leadership Council, also called TLC, which is a select group of 100 of the world's foremost authorities in the personal development industry. Winner of the 2019 Unity New Thought Walden Award, Blackson is considered widely a next-gen leader in the field of personal development. His mission is simple: to awaken and inspire people across the planet to access inner freedom, live authentically, and fulfill their true life's purpose. He's been featured on Larry King Now, Fox and Friends, and Dr. Drew. Inc. magazine calls him the mindfulness guru billionaires go to for advice. That is quite a tagline. I am so happy to have you.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the invitation.
My pleasure. So, my beloveds, we're going to start, as we always do, with calling in the light, which is really just calling ourselves forward into that higher consciousness. So, if you would, everybody, let's just take in a deep breath and breathe in all the love of all the universe. And as you exhale, just let go. Let go of anything less than love. And just now receive this next breath from the one that breathes you. And as you receive this breath, again, you let go of that which is distracting, of that which is less than light and love. And just keep breathing in love and breathing in light and breathing out anything less. As beloved Mother, Father, God, we just now open into the light of the Holy Spirit, the light of the Christ, asking that any negativity, karma, and stress imbalances just be taken and transmuted, that we, that our world, our conversation might be blessed. We place this time together into the light, asking only the highest good come forward. We ask that each one present, each one to watch the archives, each one visible and our whole invisible host be blessed. Always in alignment with the highest divine plan. We come into that higher consciousness, vibrating at the frequency of love itself, for that is indeed who we are. One more deep breath as one. And as you exhale, let that love amplify and extend out to our beautiful planet. And so be it. Blessed be and amen. We know so many people in common.
Wow.
We both graduated from USM. And in fact, I was listening in my preparation for this. I was listening to your podcast with Michael Beckwith, and you mentioned John Roger.
Oh, yes.
Of course, this ashram is John Roger.
Wow.
Where we are, we're filming, because as many of you know by now, I don't have access to my home in the Palisades, so we're filming at John Roger's ashram.
I met John Roger probably when I was 14, 15.
Really?
In San Diego.
Wow.
And I first read his books, You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought, and some of those sort of mainstream popularized books.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saved up all my money. I grew up in London, so I saved up all of my money, convinced my parents to allow me to go to a spiritual conference in San Diego. It was called the International New Thought Alliance. And I came by myself.
At 15.
John,
wow.
Gene Houston was speaking, Michael Beckwith was speaking. This is before I moved to the US. And this dude, John Roger, was there. And it was a bit different from the other folks speaking at the
sure.
conference, kind of triggered half the room. And, you know, it was interesting.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful experience. I used to love his books.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh, that's beautiful. I love that. Yeah, he's been gone for about 10 years, but his spirit certainly lives on.
Nice.
Yes. Nice. So you have a fascinating story, and like me, you're a blend of cultures. I'm half European, half Indian.
Wow.
And you're half Japanese?
Yes, my father's from Ghana. Uh-huh. My mother's Japanese. I grew up in London, and since 18, I've been in the U.S. So kind of over half my life now.
Citizen of the globe.
I feel like I'm from everywhere and nowhere simultaneously, everything and nothing. You know, some days people say, where are you from? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, it's everything, you
exactly.
know? And so that was a bit challenging as a child mm-hmm. because I really didn't know where I belonged.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I was black. I didn't feel like I was African. I didn't feel like I was British. I didn't feel like I was Japanese. It's like, who am I? And I
right.
think that sense of displacement also is what started driving me on my spiritual path as a young boy as well. Because I began to question, like, where do I belong? Who am
yeah.
I? Where do I exist? Where do I fit into this whole scheme of life? And so I began to ask the questions. And like my first memories as a young boy, I remember being a chubby kid lost in the crowd, and I see this crippled woman crawling on the floor. She picks up the sand, the gravel that this mm-hmm. man walks on, mm. wipes it on her face and stands up. And so week after week, I grew up seeing blind people see and deaf people hear, and a mm. person would come into a room in a wheelchair, hadn't walked in 10 years, and this man would say, why are you in this wheelchair? You're not sick, stand up. And she would say, but I haven't walked in like 10 years. Do you believe? Yes, stand up, boom. And they would stand up. And so I grew up around these miracles, and this man was my father.
Yes.
And he built 300 or so churches in Ghana, West Africa, and a huge church in London. At the height, he probably had in London 4,000 to 5,000 people every Sunday.
Wow.
And so my father, I think, was interesting in that even though he had these churches, he went to India mm-hmm. in the 60s and had a kind of awakening experience and so decided to not abandon the churches,
right.
keep the churches, and became very spiritual, metaphysical. So I grew up, by the time I was born, I grew up in a very mystical, spiritual tradition mm-hmm. where Jesus was not just a savior figure, but a possibility for all of us as human beings, that Jesus was not simply Jesus the Christ, but Christ as a consciousness
yes.
that we all have access to. So I grew up with the sense of possibility, seeing miracles, feeling anything was possible, but I also grew up with the sense of a deeper spiritual understanding mm-hmm. based on my father's knowledge and my mother being Japanese and Buddhist and going to church on Sundays and Fridays and meditating with my mother throughout the week. And it was just this crazy, amazing blend of
that
blessings.
That is just gorgeous. I love that. And it's why you're such an incredible and fascinating and unique teacher, but also just who you are is a bridge.
Yeah.
And I'm similar. I have had a Hindu father and a Christian mother,
wow.
and you know, rural Indiana,
wow.
and the Ku Klux Klan would collect for money on the street corners. Then I saw my platinum blonde mother with my dark father. You know, my mother would push us behind the seats and
wow.
say, "Get down,"
wow.
and they would bang on the. So I had a similar kind of predilection towards. I'm everything, I belong everywhere, and I belong nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that turned me deep inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so my passion, and I love what you're saying about, I would call it esoteric Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, that is how I am as well. Like mm-hmm. all paths lead to the same place, mm-hmm. which is love.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really where our world is going, thank goodness. Of course, there's a lot of focus and a lot of efficacy to the law of attraction, to manifestation, to really focus on what you want, don't let go, but let go.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you marry? You're clearly great at manifesting.
Right.
You're clearly excellent at surrender. How do you marry that manifesting consciousness with that deep and divine surrender?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I don't really feel I manifest anything. I think that it's all already manifested. If there's anything, for me, it's become more of a process of getting myself out of the way so that I can come into alignment with the highest flow and possibility mm-hmm. of the divine expression of life more than anything. And so the old paradigm, I think, is an ego-based model for creating life, which is great, which has a place, which can manifest, but I think when you manifest that way, you will end up manifesting in a very limited manner, right? Because when we're locked in ego identification, we don't see the entire picture, the entire unfolding, the entire play, the entire possibilities of life. Because when we're locked in ego, we only see a very small piece of the of reality. Mm-hmm. And so the ego-based model is about, what do you want? Get clear on what you want. We don't really ask, who is the I? What is the I that wants? And so sometimes you end up manifesting from the lens of the ego, thinking that what you want is what you want, but it's not really what you want. It's just what you think you want based on who you think you are. And many times the goals that you manifest and you project and focus on and intend from the lens of the ego can be a projection of unmet needs from childhood. Dad wasn't there, mum wasn't there, I didn't feel enough, I didn't feel worthy. So if I can just get the Ferrari, get the Lamborghini, win an Oscar, become famous, have, you know, have a beautiful body, be famous on Instagram, then I'm gonna finally be worthy, valuable enough. And so ultimately, you end up manifesting it and you're not truly fulfilled. It's not the authentic expression of what your soul is seeking to experience, right? And so, I think for me, the shift happens in marrying surrender with manifestation when you ask a different question. Mm-hmm. To me, the question is not, what do I want? The question is more about, what is it? You open yourself to a bigger dimension of life where you ask, what is it that is seeking to, what is the highest possibility of what is seeking to manifest? What is the highest possibility of what is seeking to express and create and write and podcast and be created through me? And I think it's about becoming open enough, available enough to feel deeper than your mind and deeper than your logic and deeper than your ego and deeper than your own nervous system to feel what is the deeper truth of what your soul is seeking to express. And I think when you can feel that and start attuning to that deeper impulse of life, then you can align with what that is and sort of catch that vision, connect to that vision. Then you can bring your ego and your visualization and your manifestation and your planning and your marketing and your resources into alignment with the flow of life. And I think that's when we are truly in the flow and working in harmony with nature, in harmony with the divine. Then you kind of catch the vision of what is seeking to happen. Then you can commit and go for it and fully give everything you've got without attachment. And I think that's the key. And so in terms of surrender, right, we have this, I would say, a misconception that surrender is weak, that surrender is giving up. That if you surrender, you're not going to be able to manifest your dreams and your life, and somehow you're going to have to sell everything, move to India, live in an ashram in India, and wear robes, and like never get married, never have children, don't have a good life, and that's it. But I think it's a misconception. I'm actually saying, no, if you truly understand the real essence of surrender, real surrender, what if you actually didn't get less? Maybe you won't get what you thought you wanted, which might have been an illusion anyway, but what if you actually got more? What if it was different? But what if it was better than you thought? What if it was beyond what you thought? What if it was like so interesting, different, amazing that you could not have even imagined it? You could not have sat down, opened your journal, even conceived of that possibility to write on your vision board because it was bigger than that. And if you look at people like Mandela as an example, 27 years in prison. 27 years in prison, that is not a life that you could even imagine. Let me go to a goal-setting seminar, sit down, and imagine Mandela at a goal-setting law of attraction seminar saying, yeah, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to spend 27 years in prison. I'm going to come out of prison. After prison, I'm going to become president of the South Africa. You can't, that's beyond the mind.
Yes, yes.
And so for me, I think the real miracles, the real magic of life happens outside of the realm of the mind, outside of the realm of the ego. And I think if all of us, we look at the best things in our life that have happened, meeting your soulmate, having a child, you know, meeting your guru, teacher, whatever it might be, if we look at the best things in life that truly happened to us, most of it, we did not plan. We did not sit there and strategize and make a plan. It kind of happened in the process of divine grace, synchronicity, but in the process of just following what was there, living life, not just sitting on the couch doing nothing, but it happened in the process of living life. And I think Surrender is the most powerful thing that we can do. Surrender is the real secret to true manifestation. Surrender is the password to freedom. And if you look at the great ones, Jesus, Buddha, you know, Mother Teresa, Oprah, Bruce Lee, Muhammad Ali, Mandela, like if you look at the truly great ones in any field, at some point, whether they were consciously aware of it or not, they all reached a moment where they got to the end, the edge of their own ego's capacity to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And at some point, they had to surrender themselves to the deeper impulse, the deeper expression of the unfolding of their life. You know, Gandhi wanted to be a lawyer and go down a particular track, and yet life had a bigger plan. He could have said, no, I want to make my lawyer dreams happen and manifest this thing, and I'm going to be a lawyer. And he could have done that, and it would have been great. He would have made some money, and, you know, we wouldn't know Gandhi.
Right.
But there was something bigger than his vision for himself that was seeking to happen, that I think we all have that impulse. And I think many of us, we feel that impulse, we sense that impulse, but because it's a bit scary, it's beyond the mind that we often resist it. Mm-hmm. And so imagine if Gandhi resisted it. Mm. We would not, imagine if he did not surrender to that bigger impulse, right? We would not know of Gandhi. Life would be different. The universe would be different. And so for me, at some point, all of these great ones demonstrated the power of true surrender. And in surrender, they transcended their own personalities. They transcended their own humanity. Mm-hmm. They transcended their own egos. And in that letting go, in that surrender, they tapped into another dimension of life, the infinite possibilities of life. And that's when life, the divine, began to, I would say, use them, express through them, create through them. It's life that begins to manifest through you, mm-hmm. beyond what you can do on your own. And that's, I think, when the miraculous happens, you know, and that's when I think you step back and see life unfolding and manifesting itself in ways you could not have even imagined. And so surrender is a letting go. So surrender is an availability. It's an openness. It's a taking the limitations off of life. And I think what life can do through you and me, what life can do through you is more than anything you can do on your own. And I think that's when grace and magic and the miraculous manifest. And so I call my book The Magic of Surrender, specifically not the power of surrender, mm-hmm. the force of surrender, the magic. The magic is that which is beyond your own human capacity to imagine what is possible. And I think on some level, we all want magic. Like, the magical possibilities of love and relationship and life and synchronicity. We all want magic, but there is no magic without surrender. And the degree to which you surrender is the degree to which you will be available and invoking the magic in your life. And so I think that's the power. Surrender is the password, is the key that unlocks the deeper dimension to the next level of manifestation. And I would say when it comes to manifestation, the law of attraction, what I have found is you don't really, in life, you don't get what you want. You don't get even what you think about. You don't necessarily get what you pray about. I think you get what you are. And you can pray and you can meditate, you can do all these things, but until you become the energetic, vibrational frequency, consciousness, and expand that dimension of your being to resonate at that level that is an energetic match for the thing that you say you want. You can meditate and pray and ask and what have you, but often you're not aligned energetically with the thing you want to manifest. And so I think part of manifestation is not about chasing and not about trying to make something happen. Part of manifestation is about releasing mm-hmm. and letting go. Part of manifestation is about letting go of the false beliefs, the false narratives, the pain, the emotions, the judgments, the traumas, the energetic blockages that might prevent you from truly being in alignment with that which you say you want. And I think when we truly do the inner work to heal, to transform, mm-hmm. to let go, then our vibration energetically, naturally will rise to a higher frequency and vibration as we become more love-filled, more full of light, more full of grace, more full of, you know, joy. And in that energetic shift, we start to attract more of what we are.
Yeah. Beautiful. It reminds me of the Buddha saying, I am not what you say I am. You are what you say I am.
Yeah.
So all of life is just a reflection of what's going on inwardly.
Yes.
And of course, what's going on inwardly is simply the spirit learning about itself through us.
Yeah.
And there's, it also reminds me of another beautiful saying of Lord, God, universe, whatever we call the divine, I've lived all these lifetimes for me, this one I'll live for you.
Mm.
You know? Mm. And that's really taking that step back. Because it's really true, the best things in our lives have always been things we couldn't have known enough to plan for.
We couldn't have planned.
Yeah.
I think if we all look, we've all had those moments, those relationships, where if you look back in your life, you're like, that relationship where you thought you met your soulmate, and you, this is the one, and you planned the life, and children, and you could not imagine not being with that person.
Right.
And then, of course, the story goes, it didn't work out, and you were devastated, thought you'd never find love again, cursed, screamed at God, you were mad, you were heartbroken for 5 years. But then, now, looking back from 2025 perspective, if you look back at that relationship and you think, thank God that didn't work out. Like, that was grace, it didn't work out.
Exactly.
And so often when we are locked in our limited ego nature, we're not able to see the unfolding of what's happening. We're not able to see what is seeking to happen, why something's happening in a given moment, you know? And we judge and we contract and we make up an interpretation of why it's happening. But often the interpretation and the meaning we make about why something is not happening or happening is also limited, you know? I think there's a few reasons that I have found. I mean, there's more, but there's a few simple reasons that I've found in terms of why things don't manifest. Number one, the thing that you want or you're trying to forcefully make happen is not necessarily in alignment with your soul's, what your soul is seeking to experience.
Yes.
It's not the highest possibility of what your soul is seeking to learn and grow and unfold through.
Mm-hmm.
And what we try to do, I think, as human beings, naturally, is when things don't manifest and we try and we push and we push and then we push harder and we double down and we try to force something to be something that is not. You know, try to make an orange into a pear and, you know, you're in a relationship and clearly it's not quite right, but, and they tell you, look, you're not my soulmate. You're like, no, you are my soulmate. Yeah. And so just trying to make something be something that is not will not make it so.
Right.
It only creates more suffering. And so I think when that's the case, we have to step back and go inside and reflect and reconnect with our spirit, reconnect, listen, meditate, and really kind of attune into a deeper level of, okay, if this is not happening, like, what else is seeking to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it takes some reflection. I think the second reason why sometimes things don't manifest, even though we try and we force and we give everything, is it generally may not be the time yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything has a rhythm and a cycle and a season and a timing, and some things just is not divine timing yet. Many times we want to go swimming in the ocean in our swim trunks, but it's winter. And so I think we have to learn how to trust the divine timing of the universe. Maybe your soulmate isn't ready. Maybe the collective consciousness of the world isn't ready for your project yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be trying to force it. And if you force it, maybe you do make it happen, but the business fails.
Mm-hmm.
Because just the consciousness wasn't ripe yet. I think of now like the collective consciousness, openness to wellness and spirituality is different than 25 years ago.
Absolutely.
Right? And so everything, I think, has a divine timing and a cycle and a season. So when we can bring ourselves into sync with the timing of life and the rhythm of life and sensing and feeling the flow and the energy of things, I think that makes a difference. I think many times as human beings, when we're in ego, we want what we want and we want it now.
Yes.
And so we force and we push. The challenge is there is a time to be still.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is when it's time to be still, we're forcing action. Mm-hmm. And then we exhaust ourselves and we're stressed and we're so exhausted that when it's time to act, we're too tired to follow the direction of the divine to act because we've been acting when we should have just been still. And so bringing ourselves into divine rhythm and season and cycle. I think one of the third reasons why things might not manifest is, you know, we are souls, mm-hmm. right? And as souls, we incarnate into this human experience to learn, to grow, to evolve. Life is like a university for our soul's evolution and growth. And so everything is your teacher. Everyone is your teacher. School always in session. There's this evolution is the only thing that's really happening, right?
Right.
And so I would say that sometimes things don't manifest, not because you're on the wrong path, but perhaps you have not learned the lesson that your soul needs to learn in this given situation. You have not learned the lesson that your soul needs to learn in that job, in that business, in that partnership. And so all lessons are repeated until learned, and you keep attracting the same dynamics, the same partner, the same relationship, the same path. You can run away from the situation and the person and the state and the country, but we cannot run away from ourselves.
Right.
And so I think part of the key is, if you are not manifesting what you say you want to manifest, either there's some internal conflict inside of you, or you haven't learned the lesson that you need to learn in that situation. So rather than pushing and forcing and forcing, step back and ask yourself the question, why has my soul attracted this situation? Mm-hmm. What is my soul seeking to learn?
Yes.
What's the karma that I'm seeking to resolve? What is it that I don't want to learn? Right. What is it that I'm resisting learning? And I think when we can truly step back and learn the lesson where we are with who we're with, this is the key that also can unlock the next level, the next dimension of possibility and manifestation in our lives.
Mm, beautiful.
Yeah. So we have to sometimes surrender, not just to the situation, because some situations are very painful. Mm-hmm. Some situations are very abusive, challenging. Mm-hmm. So it's not surrendering to the situation, but it is surrendering to the lesson that your soul is seeking to learn in that situation. And I think that's the key.
Yes, gorgeous. Yeah. So well said, so clear. And I think it's really ultimately surrendering to spirit, surrendering to our higher consciousness, surrendering to that higher guidance, and really trusting that life loves us, to paraphrase Louise Hay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if we look at current situations, our current time, our current times, it's very intense right now, and hopefully people will be watching the show for years, and it'll probably be intense then, but it's a particularly intense time. As I was sharing with you, I ran through flames to get out of the Palisades. And so when we have these challenging situations, and of course I've been looking at, well, how is this for me?
Yeah.
And I do absolutely trust with every fiber of my watch, you know, my city's gone, my home is gone for now. But it's there has been many blessings coming from it. And I do trust that things burned that needed to be burned. And we still hold, you know, our town and our people with so much love and tenderness and empathy. And my favorite spiritual precept is use everything that occurs to your advancement, learning, and growth.
Yeah.
Just as you're saying, what is your soul seeking to learn? So when we go through these intense situations, and many people are very worried right now with what's going on with our current administration, with the climate change, et cetera, how do you find that deep surrender, that deep place of peace when something really challenging happens, a crisis, if you will? How do you find that peace to look to find the spiritual, the blessing, but also the directive? So that you reside in that place of peace regardless.
Look, it's hard. You know, when you go through challenging times, challenging moments, it's hard. It can be confusing. It can be scary when things fall apart, when things often don't make sense in that moment. Because the mind is always trying to make sense of a situation and make a meaning of a situation. What I had to learn to do was, rather than trying to impose a meaning on what something is or what something isn't, is to just step back and embrace that I don't know what this means. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is good or bad. Because when we are in judgment, really, this is good or this is bad, then that can activate more stress and anxiety and resistance and, you know, contraction. And so when I go through something, I've learned to simply just sort of step back for a moment, breathe, pause, and just acknowledge, you know what, I don't know why this is happening. It looks a certain way from my current perspective, but I don't know. And I think many times life is not understood as you go through it. Life is not understood looking forward. I think life is often makes sense and understood in retrospect as you look back. And then you see how all of the dots interconnect and how all of the pieces of the puzzle have to be a certain way to bring you to that moment. But we often don't see it as we go through it. And so I think what I've learned, one of the things I've learned to do is step back and say, you know what, I'm not going to make up any meaning or story about this. And I'm just going to be in the, I don't know, but I'm going to allow life to show me. I'm going to allow life to reveal itself to me, you know? And then from that place, one step I think is to do your best to come into a level of acceptance. Because whether it's raining or it's not raining, whether it's thunder or it's not thunder, whether this has happened or that's happened, you cannot fight the reality. And I think what creates suffering is when we resist what is, we resist the reality, and we hold this idea of, well, this shouldn't be happening. This experience shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be that way. They shouldn't be that way. The administration shouldn't be that way. The weather shouldn't be that way. My husband shouldn't be that way. The situation shouldn't be that way. But the thing is, it is. And no matter how much we moan, groan, complain, and we have maybe rights to, but none of that changes what is.
Yes.
And I think the more we can bring ourselves into, as a step, into relationship with what is, because what is whether you surrender to it or whether you don't.
Right.
It is
right.
what it is.
Yes.
And so I would say part of the path of surrender, before you get to surrender, there is a difference between acceptance and surrender. And so part of the process of moving to true surrender, surrender is that open-hearted participation with life.
Yes.
I'm going to use everything for my soul's growth and evolution. No matter what it is, I'm going to roll my sleeves up and just, I'm going to embrace what is happening. If it's raining, I'm going to stay at home and have a dinner with my family. If it's snowing, let's go snowboarding. If it's sunny, let's jump in the pool. It's like, let me use whatever is happening for my soul's growth and evolution. That is the full participation in life. That's surrender, right? But before surrender, you have to move into acceptance.
Yes.
And acceptance is on the path to surrender, but acceptance is when you simply give up fighting and you stop negotiating. Shouldn't be, I wish it was, maybe. It's, this is what it is. And that is incredibly sobering. It's challenging. Things are falling apart. This is what it is. And I think when you can move into that, it moves you into relationship with life. When you can move into relationship with life, often what I have found is that moves you into, between acceptance and surrender is a stage that I call grieving. And most of us, we're not able to fully move into that open-hearted surrender because we don't truly allow ourselves to come into acceptance and then move into that phase of grieving. Grieving is the acknowledgement that this relationship is not going to work. When you truly accept what is, often there is a grieving.
Yes.
There is a giving up of what you wanted.
Yes.
There is a giving up of how you thought it should be. It's like the deep acceptance of where you're at. There is a giving up of the life you thought you should be living. There is a giving up of the relationship you thought you were going to have with your mom or your dad. There is a giving up of like, wow, I'm not going to be the next Tom Cruise. And that's okay. But you have to truly accept so you can move into the grieving mm-hmm. and allow the grieving so that you can allow an old part of you to die, mm-hmm. so that you can allow yourself to move from one phase of your life to another phase of your life. Like, wow, I'm not 20 years old anymore. I'm 30, I'm 40. Oh, I'm moving into a different stage. But you can't embrace the beauty of what is happening and what is seeking to happen until you truly allow yourself to grieve what was. Mm. And so I think grieving is a portal and a doorway as you're going through a difficult moment and a difficult time, is to grieve what you wanted, is to grieve what you thought should have been, is to grieve the loss, is to grieve what wasn't, is to grieve it all. To allow yourself to grieve is to let go. And that grieving process is what allows you to let go so that you can open your heart again. When a relationship ends and it's challenging and it's difficult, to sit and feel the grief mm-hmm. and allow you. Sometimes we don't allow ourselves through difficult moments. We don't allow ourselves to grieve fully mm-hmm. because we think it will last forever, because we think we won't be able to cope and it will overwhelm us.
Right.
Sometimes the ego is sneaky that we don't allow ourselves to grieve fully because, well, it's a form of denial.
Yes, absolutely.
If I don't allow myself to grieve fully, then maybe I don't have to admit that they're really dead,
yeah.
that the dream is not going to happen, that this relationship is done. Mm-hmm. If I don't let myself grieve fully, I can live in a false fantasy that maybe there's hope, there's
right.
possibility. And so grief is a sign of the total acceptance that will start moving you into the possibility for surrender. And I think many times we can't fully open our heart and surrender and embrace the new because we have not fully allowed ourselves to accept and grieve the old.
Mm.
How do we truly embrace a new relationship with an open heart when we haven't fully grieved or let go of the old relationship? And so grief is an important portal to allow mm-hmm. ourselves to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say take the labels off of the feeling and just allow yourself to feel the sensation of grief,
yes.
even in your body. And know that no feelings last forever. All feelings have a natural cycle. And if you feel it fully with awareness, without judgment, a layer will dissolve.
Mm.
And another layer will dissolve. And another layer will dissolve. And there's more lightness and there's more openness and there's more grace. And I remember when my mother passed away, it was very challenging.
Yeah,
I loved my mother. And one of the things that I learned to do was to give myself the full permission to grieve completely.
Yes.
And when I gave myself the full, I would have these sort of daily grieving sessions.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I said, okay, all day I'm gonna wallow in. So grieving isn't wallowing,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's
mm-hmm.
just be clear.
Right.
It's having a relationship with that feeling.
Yes.
And so I gave myself the permission to just grieve fully. And a couple of hours journaling, mm-hmm. crying, grieving. And it was as though in the grieving, my heart broke.
Mm.
But it wasn't like it just broke. It was as though my heart broke open.
Oh, yes.
And in that breaking open of the feeling of the grief, the current shape of my heart's capacity is what cracked open. And there was more love.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
I would allow another wave of grief and letting go of my mother.
Yes.
And releasing my mother. And there was more love. And through the process of continuously allowing the grieving, there was a continual expansion.
Yes.
And in that continual expansion, there was a deeper strength that emerged because I began to see, wow, the heart can break, mm-hmm. but what I am cannot be broken.
Absolutely.
And there's a deep strength that emerges when you allow that process to happen,
yes.
even in the tough time, even in the difficult time, that you cannot truly be broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many times when we go through darkness, we go through difficulty, we go through hardship, we go through tough moments in life, we resist it. But if you can fully embrace that, the darkness even, it's in the darkness is even a divine gift that is sent to force you to go inside
mm-hmm.
and connect with mm-hmm. the light that is within you. Because in the darkness, you can't look around and see any light and all might seem lost. And that darkness will force you to go inside and dig so deep that you can maybe connect with the light that's inside of you for real. And I think when we truly access that light, We see that there's a light inside of us, despite the situation, despite the circumstance, that cannot be extinguished. And I think that's a true power, and that's a true strength. And often, before the breakthroughs, before the manifestation, before the next level, I think many times we are tested.
Oh, absolutely.
We will go through a period of darkness or testing before we elevate to the next level of manifestation or the next level of our life. Not to be broken, but to give us the opportunity to truly integrate everything that we've learned in this past period of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And those tests are kind of, so for instance, right before maybe meeting one soulmate, the universe sends you your exes. You know, right before, they all start texting you, hey, how you doing? And you're like, oh, maybe I should. It's like, it's a test. Mm-hmm. It's a transcendence test, an opportunity to really own your truth.
Yeah.
An opportunity to really own who you are, an opportunity to really own your knowing, right? And so right before the next level, often you'll be tested with the with the patterns, with the addictions, with the tendencies that sometimes kept you stuck in the past, for you to see, am I truly, truly ready for the next level of what I say I want? Am I truly ready in my integrity, in my being, in my consciousness, to handle the next level of success, the next level of life? And those tests can be challenging. But I think they're opportunities to make us stronger. They're opportunities for us to grow. And if life is a school, then, or if life is like a gymnasium, right, those tests are like the weights that the universe gives you to develop the mental and emotional strength, to develop the consciousness capacity, to be able to handle the vision and the dream that you've been given.
Absolutely.
And so they're blessings, but they often come gift wrapped in disguise, in the form of that person that might betray you, in the form of that difficult situation. But they're not sent to break you, they're sent to break you open to the next version of yourself. You know, and so yes, they're challenging, they're difficult, but I think if we look at life and history, there's no one that achieved anything interesting or great or dynamic on the planet that didn't go through some challenges and some dark nights of the soul. So I think we have to also trust that if you're going through a challenge, if you're going through a difficulty, if you're going through that hardship, you're getting very close to the next level of your life, but also you wouldn't be going through it if you weren't ready. You would not be facing this if you were not. You've earned the right to face this challenge to elevate to the next level.
That's beautiful, and it's a beautiful reframe. And the way I've heard it said is when we're about to be offered a higher level, the next level of consciousness, of success, of relationship, whatever it is, we're often offered something less to see if we'll go for it.
Yes, it's exactly what happened to me.
Is it?
Right before I met my wife, an ex came back into my life.
Ah.
And I went into it feeling into it, because I'm just going to be open, truly heart open, with a pure curiosity. And I remember there was a choice point that I had of, am I going to go into this deeper, or am I going to cultivate a deeper discernment? And in that moment, I made a choice to not go further, because I could sense that something was not truly in the highest alignment, but it was close.
One
choice takes you in a whole different trajectory.
Completely.
And a whole different karma and series of consequences.
Yes.
But that one choice also opened me to be available to my wife.
And I've experienced that as well. I think many of us had. I experienced a relationship that it was everything that I wanted. And there was this very tiny, still small voice within. Very tiny, right? Very, very subtle. Just saying, beloved, that's probably not the highest good. And I'm like, is that really what the voice said? You know, no, but it's all this that I want. And it's like, but it was everything that I wanted, and this still small voice is what I really want.
Yeah.
And so I walked away from it.
That's the surrender.
Yes, it is.
You know,
it
that's
is.
The real surrender. Like, real surrender, like Real surrender is when you dare to follow that voice regardless of anything.
Yes.
Real surrender is when you say, you know, something deeper than myself is guiding me in a direction and I don't understand it. I don't even need to understand
it. And I might not even like it.
And I don't like it. And yeah. I'm not even going to try to project into the future what's going to happen. I'm just going to follow it.
Yes.
Fake surrender is, you know what? I'm going to let this relationship go. I'm going to let this thing go so that I can have it.
Exactly.
So we're projecting what we want to have happen when we let go. But that's not real surrender. It's a negotiation.
Exactly.
And so the ego sometimes plays this game of fake surrender. But the truth is, real surrender is when you don't know what's going to happen and you don't try to figure out what's going to happen. Then you remain completely open and curious to what life is seeking to make happen. You're not projecting anything from the past or your ego into the possibility of the future. Then there's a wide open field. And what I have found in the process of life and surrender is the deeper I go, the less choice I have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The freer I am.
Yes, exactly.
The more in ego I am, the more choice I think I am. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, whatever I want. The more limited I am.
Yes.
And so I think true surrender is the real freedom. And sometimes you might not want it, you might not like it, you might not, but the deeper you go, the more you surrender, the choices sort of become clearer.
Mm-hmm.
Before you used to be able to do this, date here, go here, do that, drink, but now it's like my will and thy will start becoming more aligned.
Yes.
You know, it's funny with my book, The Magic of Surrender, I did not want to write a book about surrender. I tried to write every other book other than the damn book about surrender. I sat down one day after my first book came out. I'm like, okay, I filled a book and I wrote, I had a whiteboard on my wall and I had like 50 different ideas. I thought, what book does my publisher want? What book would be a New York Times bestseller? What, I'm trying to be intelligent. What book does my audience want? What book could I market? What book has a unique angle? And you know, there's all these books now, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a, The Magical Art of Tidying Up. So I was coming up with all these clever titles, The Subtle Art of the Magical This and That. I was gonna condense everything together and game the system.
Right.
And the truth is, none of those felt right.
Wow.
The only word on my little whiteboard that felt truly aligned and authentic was this one small word at the bottom that said surrender.
Mm.
And I thought, damn, like I could feel the pull.
Of course.
I could feel the nudge.
Of course.
And I did not want to write about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to surrender to the book about surrender. The book about surrender had a soul of its own, and it was the book that was seeking to be written, not the book that I wanted to write.
Mm.
And that's when the grace flowed. And that's when everything aligned. My agent appeared, the publisher appeared, all these things started happening because I was living in the flow of life.
Yes, beautiful. You
know? And I think many times we don't realize that if we're not living in the flow of life, things are either stressful or a struggle or they just don't manifest.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so I think if we are willing to become still and not push life, but kind of like a surfer in the ocean, feel where the true energy of life is moving, you will sense and you will feel an energetic movement that you're not doing. It's the energetic movement of life that is flowing. I think when we can start to follow that movement of the wave of consciousness and life, miracles happen.
Mm, that's so beautifully said. Beautifully said. And somehow we're in the miracle of timelessness because it is already time to do the meditation.
Oh, wow.
And close. Isn't that incredible?
Time flies.
It really does fly. So I have the unenviable task of trying to give our listeners an experience of what you've so generously shared. So we'll do a few moments of meditation and then hear the many beautiful things you have in store for us. So let's just bring in a little bit of soft music. And my beloved viewers and listeners, unless you're driving a car, just please close your eyes, and if you are driving, just allow your heart to remain open and your eyes. And let's just, again, connect into our hearts. And as one, just receive that deep breath as life breathes us, as God lives us. Receiving on that breath all the love of the universe. And as you gently let that breath go, anything less than love, anything less than light just goes with it, that we might come into the one accord, into this celebration of surrender, into the beautiful awareness that we are being lived, should we step back and allow the numinous, the heavenly, to guide us, to show us the way, to bring us into alignment with our highest path, which is always a path of love and light. And we just allow ourselves now to be aware of a current situation that may be challenging, or we may have questions about it, uncertainty. We are a little bit resistant to living in the divine unknowing. And so just allow this situation or to come present. Maybe you place it in your hands in front of you. And be aware of what is it that you've had a hard time accepting about this situation. Might be a person, might be the world, politics, a physical condition, whatever that is. Just move into the what's called the first law of spirit, which is acceptance. Why argue with reality? It's like trying to push back the ocean waves. So just as we're here gathered together in this enhanced energy, just say, I accept completely, fully, even with joy. Beloved Father, Mother, God, I accept this situation 100%. No, really, 100%. And with that, just experience the freedom. Maybe it's a sigh, maybe it's a relief. Oh, gosh, I thought I was supposed to fight it, fix it, understand it. No, just accept. Just that gentle wisp of acceptance. And in this acceptance comes immense power. That, my friends, is the power of surrender. It is that life force that, when married to that one accord with what is, then takes yet another breath, another step back, and says, okay, beloved spirit, thy will be done. I know that this is happening for me, not just to me. Thy will, beloved, which is my will, ultimately. For what I want is what God wants. What I want is to be free in the life that is mine to be lived. That is the truth of who I am, really the truth of who I am, in the simplicity of now. And so whatever that is, just I surrender with a full heart and a faithful consciousness. And just be aware of that beautiful sense of joy that comes with that surrender. And you're aware that whatever challenges might have accompanied that situation. One might even call them tests, which can become more subtle and tricky the higher we evolve. That these tests make us stronger, make us mighty, make us formidable, and a greater instrument of divine intent. And so we just say thank you for the tests. Maybe I didn't thank you at the time, but I thank you now for all the tests. Thank you. And in that gratitude, we rise up into the magic of surrender, into the magic of life itself, into the magic of who we are. Conduits of divine intent, instruments of God, expressions of pure and whole spirit. this then? And you might just say, now, inside, this is who I am. I am the magic of surrender. I am one with the Holy Spirit. I am love itself. And just open and receive the presence that comes with that truth. This then is who you are. This is who we are. Gathered together in the I am of love. And so be it. May it be so, and amen.
Beautiful.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your incredible wisdom. I've learned so much in our time together. How can we find you? Give us a little glimpse into how we can participate with you. A
couple of ways, you know. People can get the book, The Magic of Surrender, on Amazon. You can check it out there. My website, CoopBlackson.com. People can find out about my events and seminars as well. I created a new online course. It's being experienced by thousands of people right now.
Fantastic.
It's called The 8 Levels of Gratitude. There's 8 levels of gratitude that when you access and harness can really amplify your ability to manifest and create. And I was guided to gift it to the world for free.
Wow.
It's 8 modules, 8 videos over the course of 8 days, and it's transforming lives. So people can go to www.8levelsofgratitude.com.
Is it 8, numeral 8?
8, number 8.
Number 8,
yeah.
Okay.
8levelsofgratitude.com. Just enter your name and your email. Check it out there. Instagram, Coop Blackson. My podcast, Soul Talk. Say hi.
Wonderful. So 8levelsofgratitude.com, beautiful free course. Coot, KUTEBLACKSON.com. And of course, we'll have all the links in the show notes. So definitely check out Coot. I myself am definitely going to do that. There's lots of great. And his YouTube and Instagram is just full of a wealth of just jewels, like he's been sharing with us so generously. And I have lots of free gifts on my website as well, alishadoss.com, simply my name.com. You can pre-order my upcoming book with Penguin Random House called Your Archangelic Ancestry, Discover Your Angelic Name, Heritage, and Higher Purpose. Join my launch team and get all kinds of free goodies there. So I hope I see you there. And our next show is with Neil Donald Walsh, author of Conversations with God, happening in June. In July, we have John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Coot, it has been phenomenal to have.
Enjoy.
I'm so glad we finally met in person. I've been hearing about you for decades now. And here you are in person, and it's just been such a delight.
Thank you.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. And so again, Magic of Surrender, 8 Levels of Gratitude. We love you so much. Until next time, live your love.